I don't know if you did your homework from last week that was given, but we'll give you another this week for you to look at what we're going to be doing. But let me, first of all, review just a little bit as we go into this evening's. Last week, we talked about the elements of the scripture truths that make up the definition of the fear of the Lord. So we could come up with a workable definition. I gave you some theological definitions. I gave you some different men with definitions. Let me review a couple of those definitions. Then remember, we went and we looked at different passages of scripture to show you where I get my definition, to show you how I get my definition of the fear of the Lord that really, really manifest what these came, but only in a little different words. But some of the ones were, like one man, that Montgomery Boyce, said this: the fear of the Lord is a proper God-directed attitude where God must be taken seriously. He must not be trifled with. He must be as he actually is, the center of everything we are, everything we think and aspire to do. He must be our starting point for every project, the strength we seek for every valuable endeavor, and the one earnestly desire to please and honor as our goal. That's one I know that spoke to me, as because I think the center of everything I do, I need to make sure, okay, do I fear God? Am I revering God? Am I fearing God in this? As I start it, and then as I do it, and then at the end. MacArthur's New Testament commentary on the fear of the Lord said this: it is a reverential fear, a holy concern to give God the honor he deserves and avoid the chastening of his displeasure. Such fear protects against temptation and sin and gives motivation for obedient, righteous living. And I also mentioned to you in the International Bible Encyclopedia, he says, it is more the feeling of a reverent regard for God, tempered with awe and fear of the punishment of disobedience. It's also awakened in the presence of superiors, taking a form of awe or reverence. And then I gave you lastly, as far as one, is this Dr. Mark Minnick, said that the fear of the Lord begins with an attitude of reverence, of respect, and awe. And that attitude of reverence is the thing that spawns, that generates, that gives birth to right actions in life. It is a reverent attitude towards God that results in righteous living in His ways, God's ways. There's an added factor that's sprinkled into this attitude of a genuine dread of God's displeasure. So we then went in last week and went over quite a few verses, and we went, remember I gave you the verses first, and we came to what are those elements that are involved in that. Do you remember those elements that were involved in our definition of the fear of the Lord? We went over more than a dozen of them, of course, maybe 15 of them, or different verses that we caught in each one of these, and we saw three different elements that would make up the definition, what it really means. And then remember we went to Jonah and saw that example in Jonah 1 there, and we put the three elements together and showed how that was the fear of God. Do you remember what those three elements were? Can anyone remember? We'll see how good we did or how you did. Okay, one of them. Presence of God. One of them is the presence of God involved in the fear of the Lord. What's another one? Power of God is involved in it. And then there's a third one that we went over. Trust. So there's the presence of God, the power of God, and trusting in God. And do you remember the definition that we came up with? If you don't, I got a funny feeling you do now. A continual conscience, awareness, and trust in the very presence and power of God. Okay, remember what we went over, a continual conscience and awareness. We can have a conscience awareness of God and still not fear God. Remember we went over Jonah? Jonah said he feared God, and he was speaking in a way that he was a God-fearing person that served God, but he realized at that time, with the Bible definition of him, he wasn't fearing God. But many can have a conscious awareness of God and not fear God. So what has to happen? Well, there's that trust. And so in that conscious awareness is where we get the respect, the awe we see in the other definitions. The awe, the revering God. How dare we would say something like that or show that kind of respect. And we've gone away from that. When I was growing up, there is, towards adults, towards, I mean, did you know that I even today, I'm glad and I hope I never lose it. When I'm sitting down or something and a lady walks in the room, I stand up. I know how terrible. If I don't, it means I can't. But there's different things now that we just are so disrespectful towards adults, and that really manifests towards God. Because how do we learn about the fear of God as a person growing? Little we learn about fearing our parents. And if our parents don't teach us right, in fact, we'll see at the end that we're responsible to teach one another because we need to learn the fear of God, Scripture tells us. And so unless we teach the fear of God and learn the fear of God, we've got to revere him. And so we need to have a conscious awareness and trust in God. That comes at salvation. Really, the conscious awareness of God should already be there because of the creation that God's given us. But we need to trust God. When you really genuinely fear God, then you will put your trust and faith in him, and you won't lean on your own understanding. But in that fear of God, we must realize that it has those elements. The fear of God isn't just a revering, it's a revering him, an awe of him and who he is. And that awe comes from his presence and his power. And so as we think of the fear of God, a real workable definition, I believe, that's helped me, is that I need to go when I'm doing things, do I have a continual conscience and awareness and trust in God's presence and power? Do I really believe he's here right now? Do I believe he's really working on me? And does he have the power to do whatever or punish me if I don't? It's healthy. Because that's the revering God. As I said last week, I feared my dad, but I didn't. I was not afraid of my dad. I loved and adored him. He was my hero. I adored my mother. And our problem today is that we just don't fear. We don't have a conscience, we don't trust in the very presence and power of God. I remember my dad would leave and he'd tell me to do something. He'd be out preaching, come back. Guess what had better been done if I didn't? Because his presence wasn't there, but it was going to be. And he had the power to, as a kid, I mean, I enjoyed athletics and he could take all that away. And among other things, but you know one thing? This is free. This is just added free. You know one thing he saw? He never took church away. I'm not going to let you go to church if you act that way. Hello? You're just not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to go to Truth Trackers, or you're not going to go to Tech because you've been, what? Do we have the right mind? Do you realize you're punishing someone with what God wants you to do for them? And you're taking that over things that matter. And so to start this evening, I want us to realize this as we go through it, that the definition is a continual conscious awareness and trust in his presence and power. So tonight then, what I want to show us, to see, is what will be displayed in our life if we fear God. Are you fearing God? When you and I fear God, I believe we will see through Scripture this evening, we'll see if you fear God, this will happen, or this has happened. This will be in your life. What will be displayed in a life that fears God? And so as we look at that this evening, let's first of all, in fact, let's do it sort of like we did last week. Let's take some verses and see its manifestation. We'll take some verses and we'll talk about them, read them, and then come up with what is displayed in a life and in a life that fears God. Number one, Psalm 36:1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, don't you? It says the transgression, the sins of the wicked, what would it be identifying there? Who would it be identifying there? Pardon me? The wicked. And what would be the wicked? The unsaved, generally. The transgression. Transgression of the wicked. And yes, as sinners, we're still sinners, even saved. But the transgression of the wicked, say within our heart. By the way, even when we're saved, if we don't fear God, we're still going to sin. And when you sin, you're showing that you don't fear God at that time. Did Jonah lose his salvation? Will we see Jonah in heaven? I believe we'll see Jonah in heaven. But yet he said he feared God, but yet he didn't show that he feared God until God corrected him. So here, the transgression of a wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And what it's talking about there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, it comes right after, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, where their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So you see what that's saying? Again, there's no fear of God before the unsaved, or the wicked's eyes. And then thirdly, I think with this, we see it says, because they have no changes, therefore they what? They don't fear God. So here with the negative saying, they don't fear God, that means ones that do fear God, the opposite of this will be. So notice it says, and I think this last verse in Psalm 55:19 brings it together, and because they have no changes. So what will be manifested in a life if someone fears God? And this is how this spoke to me. We can take these differently. Exactly. A changed life. If you fear God, there will be a changed life. There was a change when you got saved. And as you're sanctified, as you through, there's continual changes. You're changing all the time. If you're not changing, there's a lack of the fear of God. Because remember, in the fear of God, it's a conscious awareness of God. You're learning about God. Can you ever stop learning about God and His majesty? Oh, we know the answer to that. We're going to be in glory forever, and we're never going to. Now, we're going to understand a little better. Well, a lot better. But so we realize that when there's something that comes up and you don't change, well, but I'm not going to change. You know, you let God work in your life, in the Spirit of God, and you revere Him. You go for Him, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because you don't fear God. If you do fear God, this will be displayed in your life. You'll have a changed life. You'll be different. You'll be different in your salvation, and you'll be different in your sanctification. as he's begun that good work in you, you'll be different. There will be changes, and you'll continue to see things that need to be changed. By the way, there's some things that don't need to be changed. Isn't that wonderful too? But the fear of God will keep that and realize, oh, that change is good. Now I better not change out of that change. So we see, first of all, a person that fears God, that genuinely, by the way, again, let's go back right to the very few weeks ago. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. What? Fear God. Keep my commandments. This is the whole duty of it. This is your entire person, your complete responsibility. It doesn't matter who you are and what age you are. This is your entire person. Okay? So if you fear God, you'll have a changed life. You'll be different. Let's look at the second one. Psalm 128:1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Have we learned what blessed means in the Old Testament? I hope. Am I doing that bad or we're just shy? Blessed is how very what? Happy we are. Really, though, happy in the way of what? Contentedness. It has the idea of we're favored, so there's a happy favor because of our contentedness, even in our circumstances. They might not be good circumstances, but we're very happy in that. And so blessed, and God's the one that is the one that does that to you. You can have that, but you can have that if you don't fear God. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. But again, it says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Is that pretty self-explanatory? Psalm 119:74 says, they that fear thee, fear God, will be glad when they see me. The psalmist is talking about living for the Lord, about godly people, because I've hoped in thy word. So they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. So if you fear God, what will be in your life? Changed life, but what else will be in your life according to these verses? What will be displayed in your life? Joy. Now, you know that it has to be a C because I said it's a changed life. So what would it be? A cheerful life. It could be a content life, ma'am. I'll change it for the next time I ever do this, okay? All right. It could be contented, but it's a cheerful life. Did you know when you fear God? That doesn't mean cheerful in the way we're just going to be jumping up and down all the time. Because some of those times, the things that God allows and contentedness in our life is not something to be jumping up and down about. I got news for you. When I went up to the hospital today and stand there side to Janice and there with Friedel, I wasn't jumping around in a cheerful way that the world might think cheerful. But my heart was so cheerful, knowing that they're children of God, knowing that as I might fear God, I can be cheerful, I can be contented with what's happened because it's in God's hands. So did you know that when you don't have that kind of countenance, now confess it, there are times you're not cheerful. Those times, you don't have a conscious awareness and trust in the very presence and power of God. Yes, there are times where you and I are that way. And if you think you are never that way, you're farther gone than I thought. Because we are sinners. And that's why God gives this to us, to show us, get out of that. Fear me. Awe me. I've changed your life. So fear me and you'll continually have a changed life. And you'll have a cheerful life. There's one other one that we'd like to go over tonight that sort of has a few things underneath that will sort of show us. But after a changed life and a cheerful life, before we even look at any verses, you know it has to see. What else do you think would be there? Well, it would be a what? Well, let's There's two more that I have to go. I just remembered. Two more. So let's look at this one first. It's the last one that has a few things underneath it. But I think we need to explain what this is really saying to try to show you about the fear of the Lord here, at least the way I'm looking at it. It says here, and Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Do you remember the story? What is the story that this is talking about? Help me out a little. You know, I have a... Okay, Abraham. And what was happened? What did Abraham do? Lied about her. Why did he lie about her? Here it is. Here it is. Here's why he lied. He says right here. He says, because I know you're heathens. You have a different God. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. He thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. And he says, and because the fear of God is not in this place, he realized that because there's no fear of God in this place, they're going to slay me and my wife's for my wife's sake. So there's an attitude there that he realized comes with those that don't fear God. That would sort of be the idea of not thinking of others. Let me take another couple verses and we'll try to wind this into what we're getting at. I think you'll see it. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right? To fear God, if you fear God, you'll submit yourselves one to another. It tells us to do that, so then if we do that, we are submitting ourselves one to another. What are characteristics about submitting ourselves one to another? Pardon me? Accountability, very good. Trust, good. What? Consideration. If you're going to submit to someone else, what are you going to do? What? Be considerate. When you submit to someone, you think about who? Do you think of yourself? No, when you're submitting one to another, you're thinking about somebody else. So if you fear God, you'll be one that will submit one to another. And then we see the Bible says in Psalm 119:79, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. So those that fear God will turn unto me. So with all that in mind, you've got it. If you fear God, what will be manifested? What will be displayed in your life? You will be what? You will have a caring or a compassionate life, a considerate life. A caring and compassionate life. If you fear God, you'll have a changed life. That's just what Scripture teaches us. If you fear God, you'll have a cheerful life. Blessed are those that fear God. And if you fear God, you will be a caring person and you'll be compassionate to others. You can't do it unless you're by submitting to someone else. I mean, when God talks about this submission, he's talking about having an awe of him and doing it out of that heart, not talking about military submission. They could care less about each other. They just don't want to get, although there's part of that fear in there that it does in, it's the power to do something. But here we realize that it's a caring and compassionate life. When you and I don't care for others, or just, okay, we live our private lives, you're not fearing God. I'm not fearing God. That doesn't mean there's times where God wants you to be together, be alone. Listen, we have a good example. Our Savior went alone by himself times, didn't he? He sure did. But when you think of the Savior, what do you think about? A caring, compassionate Savior that we do have. And then, fourthly, if you fear God, not only will you have a changed life, a cheerful life, and a caring, compassionate life, but you will have a clean life. The Bible says in Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So I don't have, the reason we don't have to take the different verses and try to show what this is, it just downright says it, doesn't it? If you fear God, what will you live? You'll have a clean life. So as you look at that clean life, what will be displayed in your life? If you leave that clean life, then this is what you will do. Here's a clean life. You will what? Number one, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 3:7, and Proverbs 16:6, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So if you living a clean life, fearing God, it's clean, it's pure, you will what? If you're fearing God, living a clean life, because the fear of the God is clean, what will you do? Pretty good. You'll depart from evil. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So what would that be? If you fear God, you living this clean life, you will depart from evil. What else will you do? Now you know it's got to be a D. You despise evil. You hate evil. You'll despise evil. You'll hate it. Look what it says. The fear of the Lord is to, so I fear God, I've got to hate evil. What's evil? Pride, arrogance. Ooh, that's talking about myself that I've got to fight with. And the evil way. The potty mouth, the forward mouth, the disrespectful mouth, all of that do I hate. How many of you just loved it when your parents just washed your mouth out with soap, you know? So depart from evil and despise evil. If you live a clean life, you will also, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:17, let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So what will you do? If you, living that clean life, you will depart from evil because the fear of the Lord is clean, and you, the fear of the Lord, you'll depart from evil. The fear, you'll despise evil. What else will you do? You'll not envy sinners. So what will you do? You'll desire not evil. You'll hate, you'll desire, you won't desire it. I'm afraid sometimes there's certain things that, and I trust as we get closer to God, they're less and less. But there's things that are probably not right that we might not. If I just had. And so, but when you fear God, you realize He's in control. You have a conscience, awareness, and trust His presence and power. Guess what you'll do? You'll depart from evil. If you don't depart from evil, you don't have a conscience, awareness, and trust in His presence and His power. Because you, as a believer, His presence is always there. Always. His power, do you realize? He always has His power. Always. And so we need to trust that. Well, how does it keep you clean then? How does the fear of the Lord keep you clean? Again, I'm so glad that you asked. Because the Bible says in Exodus 20:20, Moses talking to the children of Israel, and that his fear may be before your faces that you sin not. So, how does the fear of the Lord keep you clean? Well, it's simple. The fear of the Lord will keep you from sin. Did you know you really feel, or you have a conscience, awareness, and trust in His presence and power? He'll keep you from sin. It says right there, you fear God, He says, and that His fear may be before your eyes. God put it, Moses saying, you fear God, and when fear of God's before your eyes, you will not sin. That's just Scripture. That's just truth from God Himself. So the fear of the Lord will keep you from sin. How does it keep you clean? Not only the fear of the Lord will keep you from sin, but read this. Proverbs 1:28 and 31. Excuse me, 1:28 through 31. Then shall they call upon me when I will not but I will not answer. What is talking here in Proverbs 1? Who is talking? Wisdom's talking. In other words, personified, God is talking. And he says, then shall they call upon me, but here they're going to be calling upon me, I will not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. That tells us that wisdom and God, there's something, there's a breaking point here. Notice it goes further. But they shall not find me. Why? Why they'll seek me early? Why won't I answer? They're not going to find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge. They hated knowledge about me. And what else did they not do? They chose to what? Not fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they chose not to fear God. He says, therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Do you see that today? So how does that keep you clean? If you really fear God, you know what it does? I call it this. I say this. The fear of God will keep you from your own self. We're dangerous. It'll keep you from yourself. And then, thirdly, how does it keep you clean? We put these verses together in Jeremiah 32, 39, and 40. It says, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I'm going to always do them good, always. I am good, always. I'm always good, always. But I will put my what? My fear, a conscious awareness and trust in my very presence and power. I'll put it before him. Why? So they won't depart from me. And the New Testament then says, wherefore are we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved? Let us have grace whereby we may what? Serve God acceptably, pleasing God. Oh, we started out, how did we start out, the fear of God? Let me see. Keep his commandments, but you fear God. Here's the conclusion. Fear God, keep his commandments, the whole duty of man. And those that fear the Lord takes great pleasure in them. Psalm 147, verse 10 or 11, I think verse 11. And here in Hebrews, he says, whereby ye may serve God pleasingly, acceptably, with what? With reverence and godly fear. So you know what the fear of God will do to you? Not only will it keep you from sin, it'll keep you from yourself, but it will keep you serving. It'll keep you a servant. You'll revere God and you'll say, oh, my awareness of him, all I want to do is what he wants me to do. Whatever you want for me, thy will I will do. Wherever you want to send me, I'll go. If you but speak, I'll obey at your voice. I've already decided your will is my choice. Whatever he wants for me, his will, I must do. I'll serve. And so we remind ourselves that you see God, conscious awareness of God, you fear God, you'll keep his commandments, and what do we say? You'll please God. What will be displayed in your life? If you fear God, you'll have a changed life. Number two, you'll have a what? Cheerful life. Number three, you'll have a what? Caring life or compassionate life. And number four, you'll have a what? Clean life. That clean life will show you that you're going to depart from certain things. You're going to be revering him, and it will keep you clean, and that it will keep you from sin self and Savior. Because if you fear God, you'll dread God's displeasure. If you fear God, you'll desire His favor. If you fear God, you'll revere His holiness. If you fear God, you'll submit cheerfully to His will. If you fear God, you'll be grateful for His benefits. And if you fear God, you'll worship Him sincerely. And you'll obey His commandments conscientiously. So what's being displayed in your life? If these things are being displayed in your life, you're fearing God. So I guess I have to go to one last question. That is, do you fear God tonight? Have you been fearing God? These things will be displayed in your life if you fear God. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that we've had tonight to be together and discuss and look at the truths about what you want for us, that here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's our duty. Here's our entire person. And you've given us what we should look like, what will be displayed in our lives when we really have a conscious awareness and trust in your very presence and your power. I pray we might live it and might not forget it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what's the definition? What's my definition of the fear of God? Let's say it together. A conscience, awareness, and trust in the presence and power of God. Let's say it again. Repetition is great. A conscience, awareness, and trust in the very presence and power of God. Let's say it again. What? You want to play? Okay, good. A conscience, awareness, a continual conscience, awareness, and trust in the very presence and power of God. I guess I have to say it again. A continual conscience, awareness, and trust in the very presence and power of God. We've got to have a continual conscious awareness, because otherwise we're going to go by the wayside. So we have a what when we fear God? A continual conscience, awareness, and trust in the presence and power of God. Then we'll have a changed life. If we have a changed life, we're doing it. We're fearing God. Cheerful life, we're fearing God. Caring, compassion, we're fearing God. Clean life, as explained, we fear God. Dan, do you want to pass these out since you're so young? And here's the review from tonight that you can use through the week, that you can meditate on, have a mental conversation about what we went over this evening about the fear of God. All right? I trust you have a great week, and be in prayer for one another as we have a continual conscious awareness and trust in His very presence and power. Lord bless you. Have a great week.